Hello and welcome to the Office Dev Show, the show all about Office 365 development. And today we are covering the Getting Started series, part 3. And we're going to go into some Python web development connecting into Office 365 APIs. Really exciting stuff.
That's right. You know, we've done a lot of surveys and telemetry with the developer community. And when I say the developer community, I mean developers as a whole. And we found that there's a lot of interest in leveraging the Office 365 APIs and building add-ins with Python. And so we thought this was a good opportunity to kind of show you how that might be done.
Absolutely. One of the key guiding principles of the platform is that devs should really use whatever tools they feel comfortable using and are familiar with, and not have to switch languages just to create add-ins or connect to the RESTful Office 365 APIs.
That's right. Pick your platform, and you can build both connected applications into Office 365 and the add-ins. And actually, in this show, we're going to look at both. So we're going to start with the Office 365 APIs, and let's build a standalone Python application that connects into those Office 365 APIs. And then we'll look at how we could actually take a standalone website like that and maybe re-leverage it as an add-in that works in, you know, the Office client, maybe even Office Online, and in the future, some of the other devices that run Office. So ready to get started?
I would love to get started.
Awesome. So I know that there's lots of different development IDEs to actually build Python applications. You know, we're Microsoft, and so I thought I'd hopefully maybe introduce some Python developers into what Visual Studio has to offer there. So Visual Studio actually has some really great tooling to mm-hmm. build Python applications. And so that's what I thought we'd do today. So we've had this for a while back in Visual Studio 2013. We had a separate project you could go and install this. Now when you install Visual Studio 2015, there's a checkbox option. There's all these different options you can select from. You know, things like, do you want the Office tooling? Do you want tooling for Apache Cordova? Do you want Xamarin? Well, one of the options is Python. So I have that installed in my environment. So let's go ahead and open up a Visual Studio 2015 here. And what I'm going to do is say new project. And what you'll find is Visual Studio organizes everything into languages. So you can see I have things like C#, Visual Basic, F#, C++. And down here towards the bottom, I have Python. So I can come out here and select different types of templates that I want to go and create Python applications. Now, the web application that we're going to use, I'm going to use the Django web project. And Django is a way for me to really quickly build a great looking website with Python. It kind of accelerates it. It's very similar to the ASP.NET MVC template, where it's going to bring things like Bootstrap and all of those things automatically into our project. In fact, if you look over here at the side, the template ultimately looks exactly like the MVC template that you have with Visual Studio. So we'll just call this the Django. We'll do maybe Modern Group Explorer. What we're going to do is we're actually going to connect into some of our brand new unified APIs and connect to some of those great new data elements that we have. So with the new modern groups that we can work with in Office 365.
And if you missed that episode, that was actually the very first episode of the Office Dev Show with Hina Arenas, showing us the unified API and how to connect into groups.
That's right. Really great show, and it goes into a lot of the detail. We're just kind of scratching the surface in this session today, but there's lots that you can do with that unified API.
But it's also powerful to see that you can then take those unified APIs, hook them up with some Python, and you're good to go.
That's right. So the next thing it's going to say is that this project requires some external packages. So that's some of the Django things that it needs to pull into this. And there's a couple of options I have here. One is I can install it into just my like general Python installation on this machine, or I can just pull them into this one project. And I prefer to do just to my virtual environment so that I don't have conflicting references somehow. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and install this into my environment. The next thing is I need a interpreter to be able to go and render my Python pages. So, you know, in the ASP.NET world, we have things like IIS Express that can go and act as that web server. In this case, I have one that I've installed in here. And the tooling kind of walks you through the setup for that. But I'll go ahead and say OK. And then this is going to finish up the creation of this project. So this sometimes takes just a few moments for it to go and make sure it has that environment set up so that it can run the interpreter and be able to render all my Python pages. But when it finishes, I will have a project that's set up, and it's set up in, a nice model view type of organization. So I can go in and we'll be able to modify things like the different routes my application will have, what views those are related to, mm-hmm. And be able to do all the templating things within this.
And it's great to see that these capabilities are very streamlined in Visual Studio 2015, right?
That's right. Yeah, it's really great. In fact, one other thing I'll point out here, one of my colleagues wrote a really great blog post on, his name's Elliot Miller, and we'll make sure this link is out there, but he created a really interesting one on using the new Python social auth. So I'm not going to use that today, but Azure AD just recently became supported in that Python social auth library. So it's actually really, really easy. With almost no code, you can use Azure AD as your authentication source for your website.
Oh, that's
so
great.
He does a good job of walking through that here. The other thing, while it finishes cranking out that project, I'll point out is this sample we're going to make available on GitHub.
Yep.
But there's also some samples that the Outlook team have put together. We found that it was a popular, development platform. And so if you go out to dev.outlook.com, at the very landing page, they have a Python getting started. So the solution that we're going to do today, in a way, it's kind of a hybrid between Elliot's solution and what the Outlook team has offered here. But in all, you'll have three great samples you can go out and view and be able to hopefully get started quick.
Yep.
So let's go back to our project and see if it's done. It is done. We have our project all set up. You can see our environment has those external references. You can see the Django references in here. One other thing you can see is it landed on this page, and it says you need to set up a synchronization database. This is something that Django uses, and so I'm going to go ahead and follow the instructions here. So I ultimately am going to right-click my project, and under Python, I'm going to create that Django sync database. And so it's going to bring up a command line here, and it's going to ask me, do I want to create one? Yes. It's going to ask me what username I want to use. I'm going to use the default. It wants an email address, so we'll go ahead and put my tenant one, rzdemos.com. And then it needs a password, which you're going to see on the screen, but I'm never going to deploy this, so hopefully we'll be safe there. So it's done. It's created basically a SQLite. You can see it over here inside of my Solution Explorer. So I have that DB SQLite 3. So I have all that. I'm ready to kind of move forward with the rest of my development. The other thing I need to do is I'm going to use a few additional external packages. So it brought a bunch that the Django template needed, but there's a few additional packages that are actually one additional package that I'm going to work with. And so what I'm going to do is come over to my environment, and I'm going to install a Python package, and I'm going to install requests. This is something that's going to help me do some of the different request response mm-hmm. things in my application. So I'll go ahead and say OK, and that's going to go and add that reference into, or that package into my project. So there we go, all successful. The next thing that I'm going to do is this project, if I were to run it right now, it's pretty complete. It's kind of like, again, it's like the ASP.NET MVC template. So it's kind of like a full application. So it has a lot of things that I really don't care about. I'm going to kind of strip this down at this point. And so let me go ahead and do that. So the first thing I'm going to do is go over to templates. And if we go under my templates area, here's all the different HTML files that are in this project. And you can see there's quite a few. There's an about, there's a contact, a bunch of things that I'm really not going to use. The other thing that this uses is it has a kind of a master layout, mm-hmm. What we would call a master page maybe yep. in the .NET world. I could leverage that. It's a great way of me saying all my pages are going to be wrapped a certain way, and I'm just going to change maybe a partial view with inside it. I'm going to simplify this just so we have a really good simple sample for people. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to basically delete almost everything out of here. I'm going to delete about, contacts. We're going to delete layouts and my login partial so that I'm left with an index page and a login page. And what happened to my project here? Did I delete my project?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? I think I did.
How?
I don't know. Let's add an existing project and see if it's out here.
That's
all right.
A bug.
Well, that was, we were able to recover. I think I maybe had, I think I did something like this where I did a control select and it had the project selected too. So hopefully though, it did delete the templates that we didn't want anymore, and it didn't. So let's do that again. We'll do layouts, partial login. There we go.
There we go.
So I did. I must have accidentally had that selected. These are the only pages we're going to work with. So what's going to happen in here is we're going to load the application. And as soon as the application loads, we're going to look to see if I have a token to talk with
Azure,
which is ultimately our authentication, our identity provider for Office 365. So if I have a token, then it's the happy path, and we're just going to go start getting data. We're just going to go get all the data we want. If we don't have a token, we're going to send the user to our login page. And so that's kind of the flow that we're going to do here. So let me go ahead and open up our index page. I'm going to pull everything out of this, and I'm just going to insert a quick code snippet here. So we're going to do our Python index page. And so this is a really simple page. What it's going to ultimately do is it's going to display all of our modern groups. And so if I go down here a little bit further, the only really Python that's in here, you can see that I'm saying for every group in groups, I want to display their display name, and then I want to link to the email address for that modern group. That's really all the magic that's going on this page. Most of the magic is going to happen where we're actually going and getting those groups back in our view controller. So I will go ahead and save that, and let's put a login format here. So again, I'll remove everything that's in here, and we'll just start fresh. So I'll go out here and we'll do our Python login page. And this is equally simple. It basically has a simple page with a button, and it just says, if we go over here and look, it says login with Office 365. Now what we are doing is I have a on-click event that says login, and it's a client-side thing. So if we go up a little further here, what we'll see is that we're going to, at some point when they click login, we're going to redirect them somewhere. And this redirect is step one of an OAuth flow with Azure Active Directory. Again, Azure AD is the authentication or the identity provider for Office 365. It's also where we're going to go and define all of our applications. And so, seems like a pretty fitting time to actually go do that. Let's go do that.
Let's go do that.
So what I will tell you is that today, to register an application with Azure Active Directory, you actually have to go and do Azure Active Directory, which means you need to set up some things. You need to set up an Azure account. We're trying to make this a lot easier. Even today, if you go get a trial tenant of Office 365, in the past, if I wanted to go and play around with Azure Active Directory, I had to go give a credit card.
Right.
Even though I already had an Azure AD there, it was something that was there by default, I had to provide a credit card. Today, if you create a trial or a real Office 365 subscription, we actually let you go into Azure now without having to provide a credit card. Now, you won't see all the things that I have. I have tons of things here along my side menu. It will be just that Azure Active Directory.
Great.
In the future, and maybe you can maybe speak to this a little bit, is we have a vision to make that even more easy, to where you don't ever have to come here. You might have more of like a getting started type of page. Is that right?
Yes, that is absolutely right. So we're working with the engineering team to see when and how we can make that a reality.
So if you're a Python developer that's brand new to all this, you know, I will apologize in advance. There are this additional step of going and getting into Azure Active Directory. We are working on making that better, but it's actually not too bad. So I'm here in Azure Active Directory, and like a directory, you would expect to find users. So I have users in here. I even might have some groups in here. But where we're going to go is applications. This is where we can define rich applications that can go and connect into Office 365. So what I'll go ahead and do is I'm going to create a new application, one that my organization is developing. And there's really two main types. There is what we call a web application that runs on a server. And then there's a native application that runs on many devices. So it could be a mobile application, it could be something that runs on the PC that's natively installed, mm-hmm. but ultimately we have these two different choices, and they're a little bit different, each one of them. We're gonna go with a web application here, and we're gonna call this the Modern Groups Explorer. And then the next thing is it's gonna wanna know the sign-in URL and app URI for this. And so what we're gonna do is I'll go out here and say localhost, because we're gonna be debugging this locally. And we'll actually change this later. I don't know what our port is gonna get yet, but so we'll go update our port here in a moment. And then our app URI, this can be anything. It just needs to be unique. And so what this is we're gonna set this application up so that other companies can use this application. Mm-hmm. It's what we call multi-tenancy. Now, by default, these applications are gonna be single tenant. It will only work with my directory. But I think most people might be interested in, well, how would I open that up further? And right. so we'll take that path today. So what I'm gonna do is do something that I know that's unique. So I'm gonna use my tenant name. So I'm gonna say rzdemos.onmicrosoft.com. And I'm just gonna call this channel 9. Can be really anything, it just has to be unique. So we'll go ahead and say okay. This is gonna go and provision this application. Now there's a few additional things that we're going to need to do. First of all, if I go to the configure tab, here you can see things like, well, if we wanna give it a logo, so this can actually show up in things like the app launcher of Office 365, which is really cool. You know, if I wanted to go and make this to where organizations can find my application really fast, the app launcher is a great way. We might show that a little bit later. The other thing in here is I can change this to be multi-tenant. So I'm gonna actually flip this switch to say, yes, I want this to be multi-tenant. So I'll go ahead and say yes, and go ahead and save my change. And now our application is set up to be available to any user of Office 365. So like millions and millions of people around the world.
That's exciting.
Okay. So we have our application created. We need to capture a few important fields out of this. So one of the things I'm gonna do, and this is something that you can reuse over and over and over again, is we have a little helper file that can help you deal with some of the Azure AD authentication pieces. And so on my desktop, which is hidden here, let me view it. I have this authhelper.python. So I have this Python file. And what I'm gonna do is copy this into our project. So I'm gonna go back to our project and we'll put it here under the app and paste it in here. And if we look at this, it has a few things set up, but it's asking for what is the client ID and client secret of your application. Well, you're gonna be able to find those values back in Azure Active Directory where we just were. So if I go back here, here's that client ID. So I'll go ahead and copy it to my clipboard and I'll paste it. And again, this is where in the future we're hoping you won't have to go to Azure AD. You'll be able to go to a getting started page, generate an app ID in secret, and be able to just copy it from there. Now we need our secret, which is also called a password or a key. So down here is where I generate that. It's a little bit weird in this user interface. What I do is I actually say I want a 2-year duration key. So that just says it's good for 2 years. You can't actually get the key until you click save. So I'll go ahead and click save. And as soon as it finishes saving our application, there you can see it's displaying that key. Now it's important that you copy it down now because you can never see it again. It'll never show, you can't go and retrieve the key. You can delete it and create a new one, but you can never retrieve this. So it's important that you copy it as soon as it's displayed for you. So we'll go ahead and paste this in. There we go. And then the final thing, and this is really what brings all of this together. This is really what makes the powerful part of Azure Active Directory in this whole model, is I can now start saying, I want to connect to some other applications that Azure AD is the identity provider for. So we've made it the identity provider for our application, but there's lots of other great applications we could go connect into. So let's take a look. So here's a list of a bunch of applications that Microsoft owns. So, you know, obviously we're big users of Azure Active Directory ourselves. And so you can see I have things like Dynamics CRM, Exchange Online, there's some management APIs, SharePoint, Yammer, Power BI. There's all these great services I can connect into. The one I'm going to use really unifies all these. It brings them all under one single umbrella so that I can get one token and I can go across all these different services. And it's called the Office 365 Unified API. So here it is. And you know, we again had that great session with Yina that where she went through the Unified API. We're going to use just one service out of this, but it is going to be a really powerful one. It's a new one that allows us to work with the new Office 365 group. So what I'm going to say is I want to read write all groups. So I'm going to go ahead and select this permission, and then I will go ahead and save our application. So now, not only are we going to be able to log into our application and get an identity through Azure Active Directory, it's going to be allowing us to now connect into these third-party applications or these Microsoft-owned applications.
Yep. And also, it prevents any extra permissions from being granted that don't necessarily need to be granted, and so protecting the user and their data.
That's absolutely right. So if I, you know, just because I want this application to be able to maybe work with groups, maybe I don't want it to be able to get a hold of some of my personal details, like my profile information. And so this really helps kind of isolate those permission levels. Okay, so let's go back, and we should be in a pretty good shape with our application. We'll have to come back here at one point to actually set our reply URL, which should be pretty easy for us to handle. So let's actually next, I think, we're going to walk through a little bit of the details here. One of the things is there's two different ways that we're going to actually leverage this file. One is I can go and get the sign-in URL. So you remember, if we go through on login and they click our login button, we need to take them out to log in somewhere. And that's what this is doing. It's saying, help me pull together what that sign-in URL is going to be that we're going to redirect them to. That's that step one of this whole OAuth flow. When we redirect them there, the next step that's going to happen once they log in is it's going to pass us back a code. And so with that code, that's actually how I start getting my tokens. So if we look down here a little bit further, my next step is get token from code. So this is where we're going to pass that code, and we're going to say, bring me back a token. And you can see that this basically goes through and it does a post to a certain URL. And then it's going to go and grab the access token off of that post, the response from that post. And so that's getting that access token. There are a few other flows that Azure AD supports. There's things like getting a token from a refresh token, but this is like the primary flow that most people are going to deal with.
Excellent.
All right, so the last thing that we need to do here is actually set up both our paths and some of our view controllers to actually work with our two views. So let's deal with URLs first. So I'm going to go and grab our URLs Python file. And you can see there's actually a lot of things in here. This was set up with all that extra junk that we were not going to work with.
Right.
So let me actually remove most of this. Let me just, I'm going to remove all, but maybe we'll take this the top line here, because that actually is true. Our root is going to be home. So this is basically like setting up our routes. And so I'm going to set up one more here that we're going to call our login. So we're going to say login, and we'll call it views login, and its name is going to be login. All right, so our URLs, again, it's our routing. It should be all set up at this point. The next thing we need to do is set up our view controllers. So let's go into views here. And again, there's going to be a bunch of default things here. So there's going to be things for like contacts, right? We got rid of that, so we really don't need it. So what I'm going to do is I'll actually just, let me clear this out altogether. I'm going to copy in a few references just so I don't forget the references I need. And let's create, we have two views. Mm-hmm. We have our home, which is an index view. So let's go ahead and add that one. So I'm going to go ahead and go to, we'll do the home. So here's our home, and what we're going to do, this follows that logic. What we're going to do is first see if I have an access token that's already in session. Mm-hmm. Right? If I already have a token, I'm good to go. I'm ready to go get data. If not, we're going to go and redirect the user to that login page. So that's what's happening here. We're saying, if the access token isn't there, let's go take them to the login form.
Yep.
If the token is there, we're on the happy path and we can go and simply make a request. And so you can see here, I'm setting up some headers. The really important header here, if you're new to our APIs, is this middle one. You can see that I'm specifying an authorization in our header, and it's a bearer token that we're going to put here. So we're putting our access token into the header of every request. That is like essential, or you're going to get an access denied. Now what we're doing is we're actually going to go out and call into the graph, the brand new unified API, which is graph.microsoft.com. So you can see here, this is actually a pretty neat endpoint. We're saying, on the endpoint, we're saying, go to me and get the groups that I'm joined to. That's pretty cool. I can go just really easily go get all the groups that I'm joined. And so we're going to get that back. And then we're ultimately going to render that index.html file, passing it our groups value. So you can see our response from that REST call. Mm-hmm. We're getting it, we're basically converting it to JSON and getting that value out of it, which is the root element. So that's basically the login, the home logic. Let's look at our index, or our login logic a little bit. So let's add one more controller here. This one is for login. All right, so for login, the first thing we're going to do is look for that code, right? Because remember, what's going to happen here is we're going to ultimately take them out of our application over to Azure to log in. Once they come back, hopefully they're bringing a code along with them. And if they have a code, we can use that to get tokens and kind of move on in the process. So that's what we're doing here. We're saying, hey, if there is a code, in this case, there's no code, what we need to do is set up what that redirect URL is. And so that's what we're doing here, is we're saying, go get the sign-in URL and spit that out into our login view, okay? If we do have a code, so that's going to be the second part of that OAuth flow, we're going to go and basically get a token using that code. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Once we have the token, we're good to go. And that's why we're going to redirect to back to our home.
Back to home.
So this is all like a whole redirect game that occurs, but it happens pretty elegantly. And I think we're probably in a good shape to try this now. So let me go ahead and launch Edge here. So you can actually, again, we're going to be able to debug this. In fact, I can put breakpoints in here. That's the beauty of Visual Studio with this Python tooling. So it's launching our interpreter to be able to run this. There it goes. It's launching our start page. There's one thing I'm going to have to do, again, that I forgot. Let's see what we're doing. Get item access token key error. Okay, so there's probably one little thing I'm missing here, but let's just go directly to login for now. So here's our login screen, and what I'm going to do is I need to specify this as our redirect, and you see I have a specific port number here. So I'm just going to go back and change our reply URL to have that exact URI, and so we should be good moving forward with that. So I'm going to go ahead and click login to Office 365. Now, if everything happens correctly here, what should happen is this should take us away from our application and into Azure Active Directory to sign in. So let's go ahead and see. We'll say login with Office 365, and there we go.
And there's the famous login screen.
The famous login screen. So we'll go ahead and sign in with our account. I'll say sign in. So now it's bringing us back, and it hit this breakpoint because we now have a code. In fact, if I hover over it, there's the code that got passed in that URL. Now, from here, I could actually, let me just do a little bit of debugging. We're going to get an access token now with that code. So if I hover over here, there's our access token. That token is our key to all of our data.
Yep.
So now if I just press play, what it should do is bring us back to our screen. And there you can see I'm a member of the Running Club, Office 365 Developers, and Social Champs.
Awesome.
How about that?
That's awesome.
A little bit Python in Office 365.
That's awesome.
Cool.
Very cool. Thank you.
Well, there's one other thing we want to get in here.
Yeah.
We've seen two parts of our vision of Office 365. We've seen open platform, obviously. I mean, we're using Python here. Two is we've seen connecting into our Office 365 APIs. The last thing that I think is pretty important is is the add-in story, right? We want you to be able to put your experiences inside of Office. So far we haven't touched Office.
No.
So let me go, I'm gonna do one last thing, which is in Visual Studio, I'm gonna create a project just to show you how easily we could create an Office add-in with this Python web page that we made. So in this case, I'm gonna actually come up here, and don't worry about the fact that I'm doing this as a C# project, but I'm doing this just to get what we call a manifest file, and you'll see what this means here in a moment. But I'm gonna go ahead and create, I'll just call it Office App 1, it really doesn't matter. And let's maybe create a task pane for Excel.
Oh, great.
Now let's do Excel. So I can pick that I want Excel. What this is doing is it's creating a manifest file. It's basically an XML file. And in our modern way of extending Office, that's all that really gets installed on the user's machine. We're not gonna go and install like COM add-ins and all these VSTO things. It's basically just gonna be this XML file that says, load this application that runs on a web server somewhere. And you just point to that URL. So we can take our actual URL here, this localhost 56859, and we can say that's what we want to load in our Office app. And it'll actually frame it really nicely within our Office app. In the future, we're working on creating some yeoman generators to actually create this manifest. The only reason I went into a C# project is because we already have it to generate that manifest. That's the only reason I went here.
Wait, you don't like typing out XML?
Not usually, but maybe on my holidays.
Right.
Yeah. So if I go in here to the manifest, this is what I was working towards. And it's not that big. If I were to kind of zoom out of this, here you can see I can specify things like my name, my description. I can tell it that it's going to work with Excel. The cool thing, these apps can work with multiple different Office products. So I could say workbooks and maybe Word documents.
Yep.
Or even PowerPoint presentations.
Without having to do anything special.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. But here's what I wanted to do is this is where I would go put in the web page that I want to load. At this point, I could go and deploy this now and it would ultimately bring up that Python page inside of my my Office client. Now, there's a few additional things we'd want to do is there's actually an office.js, so we actually have a JavaScript file that you can include in our Python project so that we could interact with the document. At this point, if I were to launch it, it would just be a web page loaded in a task pane.
Right.
But we can make it interactive to where I can go and interact with the document. I can read the document. I can write to the document. I can bind to know when things change in the document. So it's really powerful from that aspect.
And then take that data back to your Python web app.
That's right.
And work some logic that perhaps you need to do with that data coming out of Excel.
Absolutely. So just to show you here really quickly what that looks like, I'm not going to actually load our actual Python application, mainly because it's important that these be HTTPS if we're going to pass data around. In this case, I hadn't set that up in our Python project yet. But here's what that looks like. I have a task pane app. This is actually just web content here, but if I wanted to go and write Hello World and then go and say get data, you can see it's able to read that data from the sheet. We can write data, but that's how easy it is for me to go and build these Python applications and basically just create that one little XML file here, and that's it. I've created an Office add-in.
Excellent. So cool. Now our Python devs can take their great Python apps and open them up to the Office UI and really make them usable inside of Office as well as on the web.
That's right.
That's awesome.
Cool.
I think this is the first time we've shown Python connecting to Office 365.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome.
Very cool.
Saw it.
Thank you.
Yep.
Awesome. So Python devs, if you're looking to get into Office development and connect to the RESTful Office 365 APIs, or even you want to be really exciting and develop some add-ins inside of Excel or Outlook, PowerPoint, Word, what have you, check out the sample. We'll have it available on GitHub. And that wraps up part 3 of the Getting Started series. So thank you, and happy coding.